Hi, my name is Christy, and this podcast is my pursuit to glean practical wisdom on femininity, homemaking, finances, and relationships from the God-fearing women in my life. Hope you enjoy this journey with me as we learn to smile at the future. Now let's dive right in. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Another announcement this week is we are switching to an every other week schedule. Because this podcast is an interview style, I'm more dependent on other people's schedules and availability, and I'm realizing that to be consistent and sustainable, I'm going to need to adopt this new format. But that being said, I will not be splitting the longer conversations into two parts anymore. I'll release the full conversation every other week. Don't forget that we have an Instagram page that we are very active on, and you can find it by searching Smiling at the Future Podcast. We post future topics, the questions I'll be asking, and quotes from upcoming episodes. It's also a way for you to connect with other like-minded single sisters. And you can also email your suggestions for topics or your comments to smilingatthefuturepodcast@gmail.com. I want to quickly read you a review that I received on Apple Podcasts that really touched my heart. And when I read it to my mom, she actually did tear up as well. So I thought I would share it with all of you. It's from C. Pai Wong. She says, "This podcast has been an absolute gem of a find thanks to the Just Thinking podcast. I'm single, 30, and had been thinking through the same questions raised in this podcast and wanting to find some resources and like-minded people going through this same life stage. In a bittersweet way, they dwindle in number as life goes on. Christy, I really thank you for putting together this podcast. I'm halfway through the currently available episodes, and each one has provided such insight, comfort, and inspiration. Truly, I love this podcast that encourages me to smile at the future and live my life to the glory of God, who has blessed me beyond measure." So thank you so much, Ms. Wong, for sharing your thoughts there. It encouraged me so much. I've loved these interviews. I've loved this whole process. And I really enjoy hearing how it's striking a common chord with y'all as well. Today's conversation is with Quinn Winslow and covers the topic of femininity expressed in how we dress and act. Quinn is a professional image consultant and also a strong Christian, and she happens to be my third cousin as well. So without further delay, here is our conversation.
Okay, so today we are going to talk about how to tastefully showcase our femininity in our beauty, fashion, and mannerisms. And on the show today, I have my lovely third cousin, Quinn Winslow. And Quinn, I would love for you to share about how you first became passionate about this topic and maybe some of your background.
Oh yeah. I think it's innate in a lot of us, and it comes out even when we're little girls. It sure did for me. I love dresses. I love dolls. I loved anything beautiful, really. Would pore over coloring books. And of course, as you get older, you know, that morphs into, well, how do I look? And what do I do to be beautiful? And I think, honestly, I just missed a lot of it. I was so clueless coming up. My mom, God bless her, she's a lovely lady, but she's not a detail person. And so she taught me a few things, and she has her own very whimsical, free-spirited style, and that's great, but I needed more. And so I've kind of made it an unofficial hobby of mine, studying how to be beautiful and wanting to learn and wanting to grow in that area, I think because I needed it. Like also a deeply rooted place in my heart, I think, as a woman, just wanting to be beautiful. And I think God puts that in a lot of us. And it's a good thing. It just needs to be directed and fed in a healthy way for it to thrive as it should. So that's a brief version of how I got interested in such topics.
And can you share a little bit about how you have you're an image consultant, so how you got into that and what that is?
Yes, image consulting. It's really fun. I actually worked under a personal stylist for a little while and was just like, wow, that's really fun. I love clothes, and you get to kind of enrich other people's lives with that. And I started looking into it, and I realized image consulting could take it even a step further to deal with each person in a more individualized and holistic manner. So not just clothing, but presentation and etiquette and how to make the most of who you are as an individual with your body shape and your hair and your skin and all that good stuff. So that all goes into image consulting, visual and non-visual, verbal and non-verbal, more non-verbal communication, really.
That's really neat. I had no idea etiquette was under that as well. Are there Bible passages or verses that have shaped your understanding of what it means to be beautiful and feminine?
There sure are. A classic one is 1 Peter 3:3, which says, you know, your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as jewelry, how you do your hair, fine clothes, that sort of thing, but it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And part of me really likes that verse, and part of me really doesn't, because I like the jewelry, I like the hairdos, I like the nice clothes. I'm like, oh, that stinks. But I think it's honestly coming from where your confidence lies, what you look to be secure and be content, that beauty that really doesn't fade. You know, gentleness is a fruit of the spirit too. And so I think walking with Jesus and having the fruit of the spirit and knowing God, knowing your place in God, just feeds that beauty in you. And God is beautiful. And when we're close to Him, we radiate His beauty even more. And if you've ever been around, I know you are, your mom is an angel herself, but people that walk with Jesus in such a deep way, there is just a radiant beauty and a peace there, quiet spirit. Quiet is in at rest, not quiet as in be quiet, but that rested spirit is so attractive, and that lasts forever. It shows up under wrinkles, under, you know, under weight gain, whatever it is, nice clothes or not nice clothes. That is a great thing to have. Also, you know, Proverbs 31 talks about kind of some values as well. And, you know, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that was a man writing to his son about that too. Solomon, giving his son advice. Heard it from the top. Wisest man on earth. Fear the Lord. That's what lasts.
You mentioned my mom, and I just have to share about her. And also, for any of the ladies that are listening that are married and are mothers, because I know we do have some ladies that are in that category, my mom has a YouTube channel where she shares her wisdom on those topics, and such a wise woman. And so I direct you there. It's called Moments with Mom. It's on YouTube. I can put the link in the description of this podcast episode. But she has people regularly that'll come up to her and they'll ask her about the light they see in her eyes. And it's a regular occurrence. It's amazing how people can see that peace and joy. And like you said, someone who's at rest. So it's beautiful. The world notices it. And that's really, yeah, what radiates through all the external. Can you share the definition of femininity and why you think it's important for Christian single women to promote this quality in the way that they act and dress?
Yes. So it was kind of fun. I looked at the definition of femininity, and it said, femininity is the set of attributes, behaviors, roles generally associated with women and girls. And some of these are biological and some are cultural aspects that go into femininity. And femininity is special. God made us women. We're not that by accident. You know, he chose us and he formed us in this way to carry that with us. And we carry an aspect of God that is precious and very needed in the world. And people are drawn to that. I just really think of it as a celebration and enjoyment of who we are and who we get to be.
Yeah. And you see in fashion today how culture is trying so hard to blur those lines and try to get people to dress androgynous and, you know, flipping the roles around. You just see how that's what Satan does. He tries to reverse the order that God established and when he created us. And so I think that's another reason why it's so important to, in your outward appearance, to showcase that as well. I'm feminine and I'm leaning into that. And that's the way that God designed me to be. And we're going to talk more about how to celebrate that in ways that are modest and right and good. How would you exhort someone who is fixated on a physical flaw or something about them? Is there any words of encouragement that you could offer them?
Yes. I think we can all pick ourselves apart, really, and come up with things that we don't love. But like I said before, God formed you. He did that with passion and with purpose. And I think learning to see yourself the way God sees you, which is an amazing way to see yourself, because he's just crazy about you and he only makes good things. So your flaws, you may not like them. They might not be culturally ideal or whatever, but see yourself with love and with grace and with compassion. Know that your Heavenly Father is loving you. And that's where we draw our confidence from, not in our own perfection, but in who we are in Christ as children of God. And our true identity with the Father is really foundational and really healing. I know that's been really healing for me too. I'm no supermodel. And I think we might all wish we were, but at the same time, I'm like, no, I love myself. This is who God made me to be. And I look this way for his purposes, not mine. So I remember that. I need to remember that on my good days, as well as my bad days, when I'm good and bad is in how I feel about myself, be anchored in that to avoid pride on one hand and also insecurity on the other. When our vision is bigger than just how we look, but it is of God's purposes for us with every interaction, every situation that we walk into, and we want to carry the light of Christ, it overshadows how we feel about how we look. And when we can learn to live in that place with our eyes on our God and not on ourselves, there's such a freedom in that. And that's something I have to practice. I haven't fully arrived there yet, but when I am there, it's amazing. And it's a weight relieved, and you just want to love and honor and see other people, and it's less about ourselves. And that's a really free place to be, and a beautiful place to be too, because that it's a place of peace as well.
I love how you said that, Quinn. That was so well spoken. Yeah, I know I harp a lot on this podcast against social media and Netflix and entertainment, but if you do have a problem with self-image or fixating on your physical appearance, it could be that you're filling your mind only with worldly standards of beauty and, you know, airbrushed perfection. So I would say give yourself digital detox, take off a month and soak your soul in God's word. Like Quinn said, what does God think of you? He made you. Think on those things. Thank him for that. He made us so perfect in his purposes for us. Like Dolores Michelson said in our previous interview, God knows what's best for you. And sometimes what you want is not what's best for you. So it's good to trust him with those things. Okay, well, I would love to transition into the practical how-to tips here. I know a lot of our listeners are looking forward to that. So we're going to go through different categories. We're going to start off with beauty. So my first question under this category is, how do you adjust your makeup with the season you're in?
Yes. Well, my biggest foundational beauty tip for makeup is to wear makeup that flatters your skin tone and your hair and your eyes. Get that spot on. Then you buy colors of clothing that look optimal on you. And then within that color category, usually referred to as warm hues, which are yellow based and kind of more earth tones generally, or cool hues, which are blue based tones and generally a little cooler. Within that frame, you pick out your seasonal clothes, match your makeup and your lip shades to those in complementary fashion. I think nail polish is a really fun one and easy one. Of course, eyeshadow, I think a lot of people just prefer to go with neutrals, which is great, but you can easily change a lip shade or a blush darker or lighter to complement the season. And some people get tanner in the summer and lighter in the winter and adjust their foundations for that as well. So keep that in mind. I know I have to do that, different foundation shades for different times of the year.
Yeah, I definitely do the lip gloss thing, changing that up, and eyeshadow as well. And I do that even just depending on the color that I'm wearing for that day. I have a couple different color eyeshadows that I'll jump around to depending on what it is I'm wearing.
Like painting a blank canvas. It's just a work of art.
Yeah.
Putting makeup on.
Not everybody wears makeup, and that's fine, but it is a lot of fun. And I think for those of us, like for instance, my sister and I were very different in that regard. She was tended to be just more natural in her fashion and makeup. And I can remember ever since I was little, I wanted to wear makeup, just gravitated toward that and had so much fun as a way to express, you know, my artistry. It was more of an art for me. So a lot of fun to express yourself there. Do you want to share if somebody's not sure if they are doing their makeup right, how would you direct them if they need a little extra guidance there?
Yes. Well, something that modern day girls have that I did not have coming up was YouTube, which has a wealth of makeup consulting, but some practical tips for picking out makeup basics is foundations. I really recommend going to a makeup counter where you can get samples and sampling it first before you buy a whole bottle of whatever it is. Usually that kind of makeup is a little bit more expensive, the kind that you can sample, but it is a good investment, I think. And take it outside, put it on, take it outside, see it in the natural light, blend it in on your neck, the lightest part of your neck, and be sure it works in there. There's so many makeup lines I see, and I just wish I could go help them find a different makeup shade.
Oh, and I'm sure most women would appreciate help. They're doing the best they can, and they just need a helping hand.
That's right. But I find that makeup counter artist gals generally tend to go too dark. Maybe it's the artificial lighting inside where they are. So definitely get a sample, take it outside. And I often myself need to shade lighter. So keep that in mind too. And also now makeups are so far advanced that you can pick up cool toned makeup foundations or warm toned foundations. So I always ask for cool tone, and you can discover if you are warm or cool toned by just looking at your wrists. If your veins show on your wrist or your arm, see if they're more of a greenish hue or a bluish hue. And also if your skin is more pink or more yellow, and your veins will be greenish if your skin is more yellow and bluish if your skin is more pink and therefore more cool. Yeah, figure out what your base tone is, and you might be neutral. Some people are neutral and they can kind of veer into warms or cools as they so please, but definitely nail that down first, warm or cool, and build around that.
I second the fact of getting professional help on this, because it'll affect everything from what colors you dress in, you know, maybe what you can dye your hair, what color you can dye your hair. My mom took me to a color consultant when I turned 16. They would sit you in a natural light. They would hold up different colors to your face, and they put together a whole palette of what your colors were. They helped you pick out lipstick and foundation, told you what colors to stay away from. But at 16, having that under my belt was really helpful. And I would take my little pallet to Target or wherever I was clothes shopping, and I would walk around the store and I was amazed at how many colors I could actually wear that I had thought that I couldn't wear. They weren't good on me, but apparently I could. And sometimes the right makeup is helpful in the color that you wear. I know, at least for my skin tone, I tend to have a little more red in my skin. And so if I'm going to wear black or something that's not normally a good color, but the right makeup will help me pull it off. So there's ways around it.
That's a great foundation for clothing, for makeup, just your look in general, knowing if you're warm or cool and building in those directions. Practical example, shades of red on what's called a color wheel. You know, they have all the colors of the rainbow, the full spectrum there. They add in either yellow or blue into the different shades of colors. And so again, red, you can have either orange reds, which are considered warm because yellow is added to the red, or you can have bluish reds or violets, berry tones, where blue is added to the primary red color. And so that's, for practical example, that's what we're referring to with warm and cool cues.
It can be a lot of fun to dive into the world of makeup and color, but how do you balance wanting to look polished and put together and feminine without making this an obsession? Is there a line that you can say that you should keep away from, or how do you know if it's becoming an obsession in your heart?
That's a bit of a sticky question. I think it's a little bit relative to people, and I think you should pray about it. You know, see if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of anything, or if you're really burdened about it. I think that's not a good sign. If you spend exorbitant amounts of money on it, that might not be great either. If you're kind of always preoccupied with how you look, also probably not a good thing. And again, like, some of those obsessions, I think, can be rooted in fear of, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not put together enough, this and that, how will people see me? And I would just encourage you again to get before the Lord and grow in your confidence from Him. Find out what He thinks is beautiful and what other people, you know, really value, which is less about how you look and more about how you treat people. When your desire is to present Christ to the world the best way you can, the other things kind of fade a little bit more. And it's fine to want to look nice. We all do, and that's great. But when you're going to a party or going out, I would just challenge you to make it a habit of, while you're getting ready, Lord, check my heart. Am I fearful? Am I prideful? Lord, what do you want to do with this outing, with this interaction, with this party? Father, can I just present you well in your love? God, what are you thinking about these people? What are you saying? What are you thinking about me, God? And let Him comfort your heart, because His thoughts towards you are good, and you're not going to miss out on any good thing He has for you if your hair and your makeup and your clothes aren't perfect. So settle that sweet heart of yours into the Lord and try, yeah, don't let it get out of control. Enjoy it. There's no need to obsess, really. Beautify yourself with freedom, but without fear, and with wisdom, you know, in all things, wisdom and moderation.
Moderation is so key, and knowing your resources, how you're stewarding them. Just another, if you need another visual or another tip of how to gauge where your finances are going, maybe tracking your expenditures will help you see that.
There's no hard and fast rule, but looking at your own budget, at your own values and the focus of your heart, and if it's preoccupied and if you're getting yourself into financial trouble chasing this one dream or another, maybe it's not makeup and clothes, maybe it's something else.
Okay, well, I don't know if you have an answer to the next question under beauty, but do you have any tips for someone who is trying to pick a hairstyle?
First of all, what is your goal? How do you want to be? And this gets into image consulting a little bit. Is there a way you need or desire to be perceived? Different hairstyles can kind of insinuate different things about you, whether you realize it or not. I tend to think I have curly, crazy hair. And I always just feel like I look messy. Just kind of gotten used to it. I'm never going to look like some sleek-headed Russian spy or anything. So as much as my heart might want to, I just look more boho. And that's fine. But say I was going to go for an interview or something, I might pull my hair back and up in a way and try to have just a very sharp, clean, tidy presentation that might be completely unnecessary for someone else's workplace. Facial shape also plays a role in hairstyle. If you have a round or an oval face, I recommend soft curls or soft waves to complement the roundness, the curvature of your face and your nose. And eyebrows, kind of look at your face. Are your eyebrows arched and rounded, or are they angular or flat across? Are your cheeks full, or do you have like chiseled cheeks? There's different kinds of face shapes. There's squares and rectangles and diamond face shapes. And with those shapes that are more angular, you might opt for straighter hair, sharper lines. Like if you had bangs, they could be a sharp line. So you just kind of want to coordinate your basis, which is your face, with things that, yes, coordinate with it, that play off of it.
Well, and your hair, I like to think of hair as like the frame for your face. So it is a good place to start to look at, yeah, what is the face shape? And then how can I best frame that? Probably time, how much time you have to put into doing your hair each day is a huge factor.
Have a very long face. I have an oval face and a very long jaw. And I find that I really like it if I create a little bit of height on the upper back part of my head. I think it kind of minimizes my very generous face. That might all be in my mind, but I don't think it is. I think people with small faces might not need to think about that. They might want to have less hair too, because I think big hair can kind of minimize your face or make it look smaller, kind of aerodynamic principles.
I do think that hair is one way that women can really showcase their femininity and, you know, growing it out, having long hair. And I would say not all men, but I would say the vast majority of men appreciate long hair in women, just from my experience with that. And it's been, yeah, a lifelong dream of mine to have long hair. But if you're not sure what to do with your hair, there's nothing wrong with getting a trim and letting it grow. And that's beautiful also.
Long hair is great. I always encourage people to grow their hair out. I think it's just naturally beautiful, long hair. So, and I know some people's hair doesn't grow very quickly, or they feel like it's not the healthiest or whatever. So, you know, you work with what you got to a degree. Yeah, I agree. Long hair is always welcome, I think.
And you had waist length hair at one point, if I remember. Is that?
Oh my gosh, I had freakishly long hair. It was wild and crazy. Yes, it was past my waist. It was almost down to my knees when I was little.
Wow.
So I don't know about that, to each his own. Yes, but yeah, what's that Bible verse about hair being, I think, a glory,
a woman's glory. Yeah,
love that.
I'd like to do a word study and kind of dive into that. And what does that actually mean to call hair a woman's glory? So maybe we'll cover that in a future episode. All right. Well, segueing here into fashion, what items of fashion do you think are worth investing more in, and what should you not spend a lot of money on? Do you have any tips there?
Yes, 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 yes. There are some key investment pieces that I would encourage people to invest in when they can, when appropriate. Some of the first things, and this is the image consultant speaking, some first things that are noticed about your appearance are your shoes and your handbags in a lady. And so to have those tastefully done, good products is helpful. And those can last if you get a non-trendy, just a classic bag, classic shoes. They'll last you a long time. I have shoes that I invested in and I just get them re-heeled, resole. They're just good basic shoes. And so I recommend those things. And also people are, you know, we're naturally judgmental creatures. So people are going to be sizing you up. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that it happens. I would also discourage showing branded items. People see a brand name, they automatically make assumptions about you. And you might think it's a positive assumption about a brand you're wearing, but don't assume that. Different people will make different judgments about things. So I veer away. I look for quality and avoid big name brands and avoid branded logos as much as possible. I think trend pieces that are really, quote, fashionable, spend less on because they'll be out of fashion soon enough. So, you know, expendable clothing items, accessories, tops, skirts, invest in some good classic pieces. And then you can change out the accessories as needed.
Now, with the handbag, it's hard to find good quality purses that are not have a logo or a brand on it. Are there any off the top of your head? Because I actually was trying to research this recently, and almost everyone that I was looking at had the logo on it.
It is basically impossible to find something without a logo. I should temper what I said with large logo or pervasive logo. if it's small, I think it's fine. I like to go with companies that people don't know very well and kind of be incognito. It might be nice, it might be cheap, but hey, nobody's ever going to know except me. I like to go to outlets of nice stores and look for bargains on some nice things, especially bags. That's been very helpful to me. I'm a hands-on shopper. I don't do much online shopping. I like to feel the product and see the true colors and the true size and that sort of thing.
How can you recommend that we make the most of our best features in a modest way where we're not showing cleavage or too much leg? Are there ways that we can be tastefully making the most of what we have in ways that are also edifying and glorifying to God?
For sure. Modest is hottest, as they say. That is a little bit of a cultural creation as well. So think about who you're going to be around, who you're around, and what is honorable to wear in their eyes. That seems a little bit strange, I think, saying that out loud, but do kind of read your audience and the situation. And of course, I mean, never, don't dress inappropriately, just in general. I'm thinking either modest or more modest, but not, never immodest. Some people, you know, they have really great long legs. God bless them with great long legs. I say make the most of that. Wear like lean cut pants and shorts that are tasteful. They don't necessarily have to be to your knees or anything, but shorts are good for that. Say you have an hourglass figure. Well then, cinch that waist in. Make the most of that. I don't recommend clothing that is very clingy on your derriere. I don't find that classy or appealing. That's a big trend right now, is kind of everything shows, everything goes. And I don't think that's the best fashion trend at the moment. So find other creative ways. You can be high fashion without being high body conscious clothing wise. So looser cuts around there. Bodices, I think, are fine, but look out for really low cut things. And some people have a difficult time with that. God gave different ladies different blessings. So some can wear lower necklines without looking showy of cleavage, whereas others kind of, I'm sorry, but they just have to wear higher necklines to look appropriate. And again, context and who you're around and what your goal is. But yeah, we want to honor the men in our lives too, and not make things harder for them than it already is, visual creatures that they are. So, and I also want to honor the women who those men are husbands or boyfriends to as well. You know, I don't want them to be thinking about having to worry about what I'm wearing. I want to honor them and bless them in a good way. Now, I still want to look good, but I just you know, I don't want to wear fabrics that are too thin or things that are too tight, trying to be tasteful.
You know, for those who have brothers and fathers who are willing to give an input on this, I did that all growing up. I would ask my brothers what they thought of an outfit, and sometimes they would tell me to change. And in my eyes, I'm like, oh, this is perfectly fine, but I valued their opinion in that regard. My dad was also very helpful. He wouldn't always give it his opinion, but if I asked for it, he would definitely give it. Yeah, my inspirations, I love, you know, looking at the royal family and like Ivanka Trump and these ladies that are so classy and modest. If you look at their outfits, their skirts are almost always past their knees. They're always, you know, in loose outfits, but not too loose. You know, they have the belt in at the waist.
Yes, tailored, but not tight. Shaped, but not showy.
Yeah, and it's amazing how even the world looks at that as classy and tasteful and something to emulate. And there's something to be said about that mystery it creates when you're covering up. That creates this element of mystery that's really beautiful and intriguing. And I think healthy for women to be dressing that way and not showing everything. I mean, within Christian circles, if you're revealing a lot of skin, that's going to have the opposite effect. It's going to make your fellow brothers in Christ very uncomfortable, and you're not going to have the right guys pursuing you if you are dressed inappropriately.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, what is she advertising? I don't know. Careful, you might, somebody, yeah, think about the image you're showing and how people are going to read and respond to that. Decide how you want to be seen and how you want to be treated too, because that all plays a part. So that keep the end goal, the end game, you're representing Christ, you want the best things for yourself and you want the best things for others. I think it's always nice to want to be classy. That doesn't mean you have to wear the same clothes as everybody else or anything, but to be tasteful and modest is always welcome. And I admire ladies that can look so fabulous, and it's not a cheap beauty, it's a tasteful beauty, and using fabric is artistry and draping and creativity within that framework it's a skill. Easy to do. I mean, just look Instagram and Pinterest. Easy to find inspiration these days.
Yeah. And sometimes it comes down to just pairing something different in your closet. Maybe you've never thought of putting that sweater with that skirt, or, you know, you might have a lot of the elements already. You don't have to go out and spend money, but just knowing how to pair things differently. Okay, so moving on to the last category today on feminine mannerisms. Can you talk about the importance of posture and recommend tips for improving posture?
Yes, posture, one of my favorite subjects. Posture is power. Let me tell you, it's healthy to stand up straight. It's much better for your spine, for your internal organs, for your long-term health and well-being. Plus, I think you exude self-respect when you have good posture. And also, people will in turn give you more respect because they see that and they respond to that. And people, you know, they make assumptions, they judge. So you're walking around with your shoulders back and your chin up in a pleasant demeanor, people are going to notice that and they respond well to that. You can do the thing where you line up against a wall and put your shoulders flat against it. That seems a little extreme. I think that might be too much posture, but just thinking about straight back, kind of like a line pulled from your spine through the top of your head, keep that direct. It also impacts how you feel. It impacts your mood, even how you feel about yourself at the time. And you can kind of fake it till you make it too. Say you're not having the greatest day, but if you stand up straight and move your facial muscles in a positive expression, it actually lifts your mood. Isn't that amazing? It blesses people. People are drawn to that, especially the facial expression. I think of a good facial expression almost as a ministry. And it makes me set the tone as well for how I'm going to interact with people. If I walk into a store with a pleasant expression and open eye contact, as, okay, I'm going to make the most of these opportunities with my interactions with people to show them Christ, and maybe God will open up a way for me to bless them. You know, it's easier to start and be believable if you come in looking happy than if you come in looking angry or stressed or mad, which I look naturally.
No,
I do. I have a resting little mean mug that I have to keep an eye on.
That's so funny. Never would have thought that. But eye contact is so huge. And if you're not feeling confident, that's the first thing to go, because you're insecure and you don't want someone to notice. And so you're kind of shifting eyes. It's funny, my pastor, John MacArthur, he's one of the best people for this. His eye contact is so huge. Like the few times that I have spoken with him, I've come away remembering that from our conversation. He just very attentive to whoever he's talking with, but eye contact is really key with his interactions with people. So yeah, the eyes are the windows to the soul, being open and vulnerable that way, and you know, welcoming somebody. That's a way to be hospitable, eye contact, welcoming them into your presence, into your heart in a way. There's so much more to it than just the simple act.
It's important. And I will try to temper my presentation, learning to read other people's cues, which I know I need to improve on that, but sometimes I think about it. Hopefully I get it right sometimes.
Well, you mentioned this one other time when we talked, but I loved the point and it really stuck with me on how you can mimic people's facial expressions, and that kind of does help you connect with people and helps them to feel understood. Do you want to talk a little bit on that?
Yes, yes. It's called mirroring, and it's a communication skill. So when you're interacting with a person, if you repeat a word they said here and there, if they make an expression, you can make a similar expression. And it helps them to feel heard and understood. And it also makes you more likable, because people like to talk about themselves. Usually they like to talk. So find what they enjoy talking about, find some positive qualities that they have, and maximize on those to bless them and to make them feel comfortable and have a conversation with them.
Yeah, it's not to manipulate anybody or,
no,
you know, it's not a strategy like to be used that way. It is to be an encouragement to somebody else.
Yes, it's to be a blessing. It's to make them at ease and feel loved. It's a way of caring for people and helping them feel heard. And so interacting with little cues really assists in that way.
Okay, so the last element here on mannerisms have to do with the hands. And I know a lot of us, self included, always feel like hands become the most awkward body part whenever I'm feeling self-conscious or in a group or whatever the case is. Are there tips you can share about hand placement and how to be more at ease with your hands?
That's something I struggle with too. Drives me crazy. And actually, I've kind of learned to plan to have something in my hands to hold so that I do have something to do with my hands. So I'll get a glass, I'll get my purse, whatever it is. And that way I have a natural placement. Otherwise, try to keep them still. You know, if you're kind of moving them around, you'll look fidgety and nervous. And I'm a horrible fidgeter and I need to catch myself at this more. Yes, trying to keep them still. If you're seated someplace, one of those nonverbal communication things is to have open hands, not like open face palm up, but just not clenched fists. You'll look more relaxed if your hands are just open. Don't cross your arms, you know, sit and stand in good position. Don't maybe cock your hip out to one side too much. It's fine to shift your weight back and forth and do that a little bit, but obviously not your hands on your hips. That's generally discouraged. Things like that. But yeah, have something in your hands if you can. Otherwise, just keep them still and low. Preferably have something in your hands.
I am a fidgeter too, and my hands naturally gravitate toward my necklace or my earring. And actually, they make these now. I think it was on Shark Tank where they're called discreet fidgeters, where they're so tiny that no one else will notice if you have one in your hand. But it gives you a way to get all that nervous energy out. Back in the day, you know, people could take their crochet and knitting needles and work on, you know, while they're talking with people, but yeah, don't have that luxury anymore. Yeah, I get maybe, and it's probably one of those habits that just takes some observing at first, but you'll be able to move past it and conquer that. It might just need to receive a little bit of attention, but soon you'll work past it and be more at ease.
One thing that I noticed a lot too, and this happens especially when people are seated. I think I see more men doing this than women, but they both do, is like bouncing a leg or bouncing a foot. And it ends up shaking the whole table or the whole bench, whatever they're on. And it's just like, it's like, oh, please be still. It's visually bothersome.
And it's distracting for everyone else. And it's, you'd think they would hear it or see it, and they're completely oblivious, which is hilarious. I have to just share a really quick story because I went on a date with someone in college and we were at this really nice classical concert and the seating was like pews, and he had that restless leg, or he was shaking that leg. The entire pew was moving. All like 20 people that were sitting there were all looking over, and I was sitting there mortified and I didn't know how to tell him because, you know, I'm on a date. I'm not going to be scolding him. And then he like broke out candy in the middle and was like opening them and rustling the wrappers through the middle of the concert. Needless to say, it was a first and last date, but not for those reasons, of course, but it was a pretty hilarious experience. It's fun information. It's helpful to know these things and to work on these things in our lives. And it's not wrong to put a little bit of effort, goes a long way. And you'll be thankful you invested in some of these areas of femininity for the rest of your life. So thank you so much, Quinn. And I'll look forward to having you back at some point in the future.